The Bible has a lot to say about human reasoning. It's always wrong. That is when they use truly human, carnal reasoning. Thus, the proper understanding of God, time, and eternity would be that God exists changelessly and timelessly prior to creation and in time after creation. That's interesting to me. Remember how I said you can't even make a statement. If you're going to say that there exists such a thing as... if you're saying that time only exists during the period of temporal creation, that is, the moving of objects, which mark off time. That's the only way you can know there's time. Okay? I said you can't even discuss it. You can't even formulate a sentence, a coherent English sentence. Just like I just read 9 pages of stuff to you. No, not 9, 6. The article's 9 pages long, 5 pages of reference. Without contradicting yourself or using contradictory words. Let me read it again. Thus, the proper understanding of God, time, and eternity would be that God exists changelessly and timelessly prior to creation and in time after creation. Do you see the contradiction? He's trying to say, before creation, there was no time. And after creation is finished, there will be no time. How is the only way he can say it? Listen. Eternity would be that God exists changelessly and timelessly prior to creation and in time after creation. Oops! His first opening sentence is a contradiction. His final statement is a contradiction. He's trying to say that before creation there was no time, after creation there'll be no time, and he says it by saying that God was changeless and timeless prior to creation and in time after creation. He's trying to tell us there'll be no time after creation is through. And by do that, he says that will be a time. Am I the only one that is amazed by this nonsense? Well, if all else fails, let's look at the dictionary and see if we can find out what the definition of eternity is. I mean, surely we've got to be able to find the right definition here. And surely the dictionary will tell us without contradiction. Webster's, Merriam Collegiate Dictionary. Eternal. Finite duration. Okay? Finite. That means what? Not eternal. Right? Finite. Limited. Eternity. Finite, duration, eternity. What? Existing at all times, timeless. Of course, we looked up less means less than. American Heritage. Actually, I prefer this dictionary in many ways. So we looked up ageless, timeless, right? Let's look at the definition of eternal, eternity. Eternal, having no beginning, no end, existing outside of time. Okay? That's the relational view. Eternity, time. Existing outside time. Well, what is it then? It's time. Time without beginning or end. Infinite time. This is unbelievable. Why do we have this problem? Why? how is it the dictionary itself is so screwed up? Not only do the dictionaries contradict each other, they contradict themselves. They contradict what they say the word less means this. Then they give you a word that has the suffix less, and they say it means more. Where did all this nonsense come? How come our dictionaries are so screwed up when it comes to time? Where did all this screwing up nonsense come from? I'll tell you where it came from. The church. Christianity. Theology. That's where it came from. Where did the word eternity come from? There was no word eternity when this Bible was written and completed. There was no word eternity. Alexander Thompson says, no etymologist has ever found the word any place on earth inscribed in a stone or hieroglyph anywhere where the word meant endless time until the 2nd century A.D. The Bible was complete. No such word that meant endless time. This is a great little booklet. It's called Whence Eternity, by Alexander Thompson, who is a Scottish theologian, and I consider him a great man, a great thinker. And he was partly responsible for the translation of the Concordant version of the Bible, which would have been many times a better translation if A. Enoch had not blackballed him and kind of ran him off. Because he wanted to make that translation top drawer. A. Enoch said, no, we're going to put it to press. You know, he wanted to get at the press right away, no matter how bad some of the parts were. It is now necessary to examine the origin of the word eternal. Whatever the Latin word meant in the time of Jerome, it certainly did not signify endless 300 years earlier. Professor Max Mueller said of the root of the word that it originally signified life or time, but had given rise to a number of words expressing eternity and the very opposite of life and time. He says the Latin avium, A-E-V-U-M, which corresponds almost letter for letter to the Greek word ion, eon, thought to have been originally Avon, A-I-V-O-N, because the name of time, age, and its derivatives, Aeternus or Eternus, was made to express eternity. Oh, it was made to. It never meant that. It was made to do that. These are the words of an authority who was quite unbiased in this matter. The word ion, A-I-O-N, or eon, is defined, among other things, as the life of mankind, and therefore is cited the seven eons for the creation of the heavens and the earth until the general resurrection of humanity. Favorinus, the editor, adds, quote, ion is the imperceptible adios and the unending atulititos, or something. As it seems to the theologians. Theologians, they're the ones that, this has nothing to do with real words, the etymology of words. It has to do with theologians changing things. What he meant was that originally the word never meant unending, but this meaning had been interjected by theology. Instead, he spoke truly as it is theology and theology alone which in any language has imported into time words the thought of endlessness. In the year 540 A.D., Justinian made arrangements for the calling together of the famous local councilor 4 years earlier. And now we'll see where this idea of timelessness, endlessness, comes from. He was determined that certain doctrines must be suppressed. In setting forth the position when writing to the Patriarch Menas at Constantinople, he discussed the doctrines with great ability. In particular, he wished to make it very plain that the life of the saint was to be everlasting and that the doom of the lost was to be likewise. Yet he did not argue that the word Aeonian meant everlasting, nor did he claim that the word Aeonian had heretofore been misunderstood. in setting forth the orthodox position of the church that time, he did not say, we believe in aeonian punishment, as this is exactly what Origen 300 years earlier had said. Here's what he said. Here's what Justinian brought up at this council of the Catholic Church and how this unscriptural heresy and nonsense got started. The Holy Church of Christ, that's the Catholic Church, teaches an endless aeonian life for the just and endless aeonian punishment for the wicked. Justinian knew quite well that by itself aeonian did not signify endless, and therefore he added a word the meaning of which is quite unequivocally a word not found in scriptures. This letter of Justinian is still in existence and ought to convince anyone who is in doubt regarding the true scriptural meaning of the word aeonian. There it is. Now, a man that I used to read 8 years ago, J. Preston Eby, and I thought he had some really pretty good writings. So like one by one, I start finding tithing and all this talking in tongues and hedging on the will of man and the sovereignty of God, and trying to interject a little free will and so on. And so he puts forth a bunch of arguments. Two statements I want to make before I just discuss what he says a little bit. In Wikipedia, we read this, so that you understand that there's a whole segment of Christianity, and here's what they believe. While in the popular mind, eternity often simply means existing for a limited amount of time, many have used it to refer to timeless existence altogether outside of time. Okay, that's from Wikipedia, their article on eternity, and that's from a Christian perspective. Now, early on, there's a rather long article from J. Preston Eby, but I only copied 2 pages, and I'm not going to read all of that. But he states this: endlessness is expressed in the scriptures by the simple phrase, no end. So does the scriptures, or do the scriptures, speak about endlessness? Something will not come to an end. Yes, it uses the word a time. I mean, it uses the word end, and then the definite negative, no end. Meaning that something that should terminate or consummate will never, no consummation, no end, no. So he knows that, okay? He knows that. I want to point that out, that Preston Eby is aware of these scriptures. But just like with his heresy on free will and everything else, he knows all the scriptures, he just doesn't believe them. The late Dr. Einstein discovered, at least theoretically, that time and space are interdependent, inseparably related. The form of four-dimensional continuum, length, height, depth, and duration, or time. That is to say, there is no space without time. There is no time without space. Space cannot be traversed without the passage of time. Without the passage of time, there is no traversing of space. That is why his post-resurrection spiritual body, Jesus, was able immediately to transcend and traverse the space-time continuum with the speed of thought. Also, since we know from the scriptures that space is created, we can know that time is created too. Well, do we have a scriptural verse on that? No. We can also understand that both time and space, as we presently know them, will end together at the conclusion of the ages. Okay? Time is going to end. J. Preston Eby says so. Time is outside of the realm of eternity, as the great James Barr has stated. I am compelled to state that the Bible says very little about the definition of eternity. Well, you got that right. it says nothing whatsoever. Not very little, nothing. It says nothing of eternity. Eternity is a hypocrite's way of distorting and twisting the scriptures. Skip that. Eternity is a state of absolute timelessness, not of unending time. It gets very specific. It doesn't mean just keep going on forever. No, it is no time. Timelessness, no time. Eternity is a state of being, resident in the very nature and person of God, in which such concepts as past, present, and future, before, after, change, transition, growth, decay, etc., do not exist. Oh, I don't have my marking pencil. I need to mark that word. Growth. Growth. Remember that word. Growth. Change. Growth. Such concepts as past, present, future, before, after, change, transition, growth, decay, do not exist. So, let's ask ourselves at this juncture a question. When we are in the kingdom of God, where will we think we came from? We won't think we came from any place. Why? Because coming from some place does not exist in eternity. You cannot say, think, or conceive of such an idea as that you came from some place. Does that sound like heresy to you? Yeah. Sounds like heresy to me. It is wrong to assert when time ends, eternity. It is wrong to assert that when time ends, eternity will begin, because eternity has no beginning. Neither did it end when time began, as so many charts indicate. Therefore, it is very important that we make a clear distinction between ages, which belong to time, and eternity, which is timeless. We should search diligently those scriptures which refer to time and those which refer to eternity. Do you have it yet? Do you see? No. What scriptures that refer to eternity? There are no scriptures that refer to eternity. But there are a couple that refer to no end. Eternity doesn't go anywhere. It does, nor does it do anything. Now here's where I get angry at this junk. We will not go anywhere in the kingdom of God. We will accomplish nothing. We will not do anything for all eternity. We won't even know where we came from or why we're alive. Only that we are. Now, it's true, we always live in the now. You cannot live in 10 minutes ago. Because it's past. You can't go back and live that. You can think about it in your memory. And you can project that in another 20 minutes we're going to be eating lunch. But you can't be eating lunch now if you're not going to do it for 20 more minutes. You see? So we always live in the now. 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 Pick up the paper now. Put the paper down now. It's all happening now. But now it's in the past. Now in the future I'll lift it up again. There I did it. Now it's in the past. Now I'm in the now. That's easy enough, right? But how can any of this make any sense if there is no future and there was no past? You're Han Solo frozen in a block of metal. It's just stupid, unscriptural heresy. Here's a paragraph. Okay. Eternity transcends beyond our knowing anything having to do with time. So we will not know who we are or where we came from. And we're not going to go anywhere because there is no anywhere. There is no past. There's no anywhere in the future. There's only now. And we don't know of anything else. So we're really stupid. We are totally stupid. Do people think like I'm talking when they write these articles? No. No, they don't. Their mind won't let them go that far. But is what I'm telling you the truth? With a little bit of God's Spirit, can you see it? Eternity transcends beyond our knowing anything having to do with time. It is not time at all. It is just a glorious experience of being. Contradiction! The word being is a present progressive word that goes into the future. Be is now. Okay? What did Aristotle say? Or was it Plato? To be or not to be. To be is being. I know that. I looked it up a couple weeks ago. Being means to be. He contradicts himself. He has no idea he contradicted himself. He has no idea. He doesn't even know what a contradiction is. Time only serves as an instrument to help man, to give him time and experience to develop into the new state of being. In time, there is change. In eternity, there is no change. All changes in development must take place in time. That's a damned lie. That's unscriptural heresy. I'm going to prove it to you. A proper understanding of time as a created phenomena, having beginning and ending, is an absolute prerequisite to a proper understanding of eternity. Garbage. Time is relative only to the physical universe and the purpose of God therein. Garbage. Let me ask, if there were no such thing as the planet Earth, would there be days? No. If the Earth didn't have a satellite called the Moon, would there be months? No. If the Earth and the Moon didn't have a thing called the Sun around which to orbit, would there be years? No. If there were no stars, no suns, no planets, would there be time? No. Oh, really? We'll see. No. Time is duration set forth by measures, the ticking of a clock, the beating of a pulse, the burning of candles, the falling of sand through a certain aperture. These and 1,000 similar regular movements may conserve measures more or less exact of time. Time, then, because it is created phenomena, can be studied in some extent just as other parts of creation are studied. We know its function and its effect is passing, decay, corrosion, erosion, deterioration, or progression, growth, and development, maturity. Okay? We know how it functions by its effect. Okay? These things only occur in time. Progression, growth, development, maturity only occur in time. In other words, when we are in the kingdom of God and the orbits and everything that measure time are gone, there will be no progression, no growth, no development, no maturity. Thus saith J. Preston Eby. Okay. Now, I'm not sure what this is. I know I marked it. Okay. Now, what saith the Scriptures? Okay, I want Psalm 102:26. Mr. Eby, and I don't mean to be disparaging about Mr. Eby, he just ought to stop preaching all this heresy. He says, now, if both the earth and the moon didn't have a thing called the sun around which to orbit, would there be years? Years. Would there be years if we didn't have the earth going around the sun? Would there be years? Answer, no. Psalm 102, verse 26. Oops, wait a minute. No. Okay, yeah. Psalm 102, verse 26. They shall perish, but you, this is speaking of God, shall endure. Just the verse above, it says, and the heavens are the work of your hands. This is speaking of God. They shall perish. What? The heavens and the earth. But you shall endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shall you change them, and they shall be changed. But you are the same, and your years shall have no end. Didn't we read in both these people, when the creation is done away with, there'll be no time? When there's no sun, will there be years? No. They shall wax old like a garment, as a vesture you shall change them, they shall be changed, but you are the same, and your years shall not end, shall have no end. Shall have, present, progressing into the future, no end. Didn't J. Preston Eby say that the way to tell if the Bible's talking about something that continues without, the Bible uses the phrase, no end. I read that right to begin. He knows that. Here's one that says, the years of God. You say, well, it's talking about spiritual years. Or figure. It doesn't matter. He uses the word years. Shall have no end. Who are you going to believe? The Bible or theologians? Christian ministers. Okay. Now, Luke 1, verse 23 says, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, it doesn't say what about the kingdom, it just says of the kingdom, whatever pertains to the kingdom will have no end. Okay? Now, one of my favorites. Well, let's go to Proverbs next. This is the one I used at the conference, if you remember. Proverbs 8. Now, remember I had all those words, processes, events, happenings, changings. Right? Remember, they used them all interchangeably. All this has to do with the physical universe and time. Has nothing to do before or after the creation. Wrong, pale face. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. Before. You mean sometime before? Well, yeah, I would think sometime before. I was set up from, everlasting is not aeonian, from the beginning or ever, that means before the earth was. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. What was there before the heavens and the earth? Wisdom. Was it? Eternal. Verse 24. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. The oldest Bible I have on my e-sword is Bishop's, which long predates King James. And he has born. I was born. And other translations too. Thank you, babe. Verse 25. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills were brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth or the fields nor the highest parts of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, he's just preparing them. I was there. Or you could say, I was already there. So, before the creation, something happened. Something was brought forth. Before there was an earth, stars, moons, or creation, something was brought forth. Some event happened. Wisdom was birthed. Okay? But we read J. Preston Eby and a whole bunch of these other guys. That time before the heavens and the earth were made, that was eternity, and nothing happened. Nothing. Nothing changed. No event. Remember all those words? Events, processes, happenings. Who are you going to believe? Okay, now one of my favorite verses, because this verse says very little, and yet it says a lot. We could meditate for some time on this. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Aeonian Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Now, one more time to the scriptures here. Dr. Strong gives a very brief definition there. He just says that word means increase. But he uses the English word, so let's see what the definition is. Because this word is not contradictory, like these time words are all contradicting. American Heritage, increase. To become greater or larger. To multiply, reproduce, to make greater or larger, the act or process of increasing, the amount or rate by which something is increased. Synonyms: increase, expand, enlarge, extend, augment, multiply. These verbs mean to make or become greater or larger. Sometimes suggesting steady growth. To extend, to lengthen in space or time, or to broaden in range. All of these lengthening, multiply, increasing, growing. When will that stop? J. Preston Eby? At the end of the eons, all these other turkeys, at the end of the eons when eternity takes over. What did the scripture say? No. Never. No end. No end. Now, it'd be nice if we had some 20 or 30 specifics about this, but we don't. But think about what it's saying. Increase. Maturing, growing, expanding, becoming bigger, larger, greater in quality, quantity. Isn't that a marvelous teaching? All of these Christians reject it. We're going to be like Han Solo, frozen in a block of metal. for all eternity. There'll be no changing. Nothing will happen. That's why they said a definition of eternity. Nothing happens. Unbelievable. Let's see what Webster has to say about that. Increase. To become progressively greater, as in size and so on. To make greater. Enlarge, augment, multiply, mean to make something greater, increase, use transitively implies progressive growth in size, amount, or intensity. Addition or enlargement in size, extent, or quantity, something that is added to an original stock. Augmentation, growth, etc. All of this growth and getting bigger and better and grander, when does it end? Never. But we're told these things only happen in time. And there'll be no time. What a damnable doctrine. Huh? How marvelous is God's word. Okay, that's about it.
So doesn't the fact that the angels shouted for joy at the creation, doesn't that kind of imply that they are around before creation?
Yes.
And yeah. Is he saying that there's no passage of time for the angels?
Right. I mean, you could extrapolate various scriptures that way, you know. But let's go back to Proverbs. So God, now, you know, God just created the earth and he made this and he formed these things, right? Well, why didn't he create wisdom? Why didn't he make it? Why didn't he form it? Why did he birth it? Because birth implies pain, hardship. Okay? So did nothing happen before this creation? Like I said at the conference. Did God ever do a hard, honest day's work in his life? Not according to Christianity. Oh, marvelous works, great works, but not hard work. Easy stuff. Just speak the word, it's done. That probably was relatively easy. First, he had to come up with a plan how to do it. Do we think that nothing God says with relationship to what and how men do things have absolutely nothing to do with himself? Simple things. Christ said, how many of you, or who would go out with an army to fight an enemy and not consider first whether he has sufficient men and manpower and weapons to beat that enemy? Who would do that? Who would be so foolish? God. Huh? Or I think he uses the analogy once of building the tower, whether you'd have enough material or whatever, you know, before you start. Or people come and they laugh and say, yeah, he started to build the tower and can't finish it.
We think that God doesn't think.
Yeah, a good point. We think that God doesn't think. He doesn't plan. If God had to birth wisdom, see, to me, wisdom is the master plan. That's the master plan. He did speak the word, let there be light, and light came into being. You know, let the earth bring forth green, and then more complicated, advanced plants, and then trees that have fruit that have seeds that produce, and so on. And it came to be so. He just made it. He formed it. He commanded it. He spoke it. But when he came up with the master plan, he birthed it with great pain and sorrow. That's why he used the word birth and he didn't create it. Before it was birthed, it wasn't here. So God had to he came to a time. And you say, well, if eternity is like a circle, where is that? I don't know. I'm saying I understand all mysteries of the universe. I'm saying I can understand the things that he teaches us. And so there was a time, if there was a time, rather, if wisdom was birthed, then that's an event that happened sometime, at some time. And then there was a time before it was birthed that it wasn't here. And then there was, after it was birthed, it was here. And yet there was no universe or creation. You see? To measure the minutes and the ticks of your heartbeat and the moons and the suns, you see, according to E.B. They haven't thought it through. They know these scripts. I have no doubt in my... I mean, J. Preston Eby has it, probably has a 20-page article on of the increase of his government, or it can mean his dynasty. The increase of his dynasty. Kingdom or dynasty. There shall be no end.
Is wisdom Jesus? Is wisdom, he's the first fruit. He is the beginning.
Right, no, it's got to be more than that.
It has to be more than that.
Right, it has to be more than that, because
wisdom came before.
Because God birthed it, and the it has to do with ability and cleverness and all of those. If you look up the definition of wisdom, okay, it means more than just bringing into being some other being that possesses these qualities. Because, quite frankly, if Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then when did he become the Son of God? And you say, well, when he was born. No, he's called the Son before that. So how then was wisdom necessary to make a son? Where did he come up with the idea of a son anyway? We said, where did he come up with the idea of a family? Well, he did, because we're here and we have family relationships and so on. Where did he come up with that? Did mothers and fathers and children and aunts and uncles and cousins, did they exist before the creation of the heaven? No. Well, then God came up with that. You say, no, God inhabited eternity. And in eternity, nothing changes and nothing happens. So therefore, we existed and the universe existed before it was created. Because if it didn't create and he created it, then something happened. And we say, and he made it first, and then it entered his mind what he did. Oh my, look what I did. I wonder where that idea came from. It's nonsense. So Christians will say things like, well, you can't talk about how God thinks compared to we think. I know, you want to talk in riddles and nonsense. You want to think in sentences that absolutely contradict each other. Don't you? Yes. Why? Because then you're not accountable for anything. You're just gobbledygook. Well, my mind doesn't think that way, and I refuse to go there. So anyway, we step into eternity when we'll be frozen like Han Solo in a perpetual nothingness? No. Nope, 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 nope. We will grow and expand forever. How great do you think that'll be? Well, how long do you suppose forever is? Huh? I mean, this is almost too marvelous to comprehend. Okay, we're done.